Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Today's readings, we have two different scriptures today. Come from the first one is from Acts 1, verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the Message version of the Bible. Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. The second scripture is from Luke 10, verses 25 to 27. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, I bring you greetings from our Bishop Minerva Carcano, and from all of the United Methodist Christians throughout the California Pacific Annual Conference, the south half of California, state of Hawaii in all of its splendor in the Pacific, and the islands of Guam and Saipan. Won't you pray with me for just a moment? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our redeemer. Shout or serve. Well, disciples transforming the world, and you heard a little bit about that this morning already. The theme for this Laity Sunday, provided by the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church, is just that, disciples transforming the world through service and witness. Through service and witness. That's the final theme for this quadrennium, or this four-year cycle, which ends at the end of 2012. And those themes, they don't just come out of the air. The Association of Annual Conference Lay Leaders determines those for each year and provides them to the General Board of Discipleship. So, I helped select our theme today, In Another Life. Today has a double focus, service and witness. Witness was added to our vows back in 2008 at the General Conference. Well, as we affirm our vows, or reaffirm them, to be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church, and to do all in our power to strengthen its ministries. To do that through prayers, through presence, through our gifts, through our service, and through our witness. You remember hearing those words before? Saying those words before? Now, many of you, when you joined the church, the Methodist Church, you didn't say witness because we hadn't added it yet. For some reason, we hadn't thought about that. I don't know why. Well, you've caught me, right? You see immediately that my title should have been an and an exclamation. Witness and service. Shout and service. Exclamation. Not witness or service. Question mark. Well, I thought that would look better on the marquee. And get more questions, perhaps. Our promise to serve includes a promise to serve Christ through the United Methodist Church and in our daily lives. In our daily lives, we promise to do all of these things. We know from the Apostle Paul that, like spiritual gifts, I jumped a paragraph, serving encompasses a wide variety of activities. Perhaps cleaning the church kitchen, leading in worship, teaching Sunday school, serving on a committee, joining a mission or a community work team, and many of the myriad things that need to go on that makes a church work. Paul tells us that, like spiritual gifts, the tasks, none of them are any important than the others. None are any more important than the others. Our service is important. And Hebrews 6:10 tells us, "For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do." So, who are we supposed to serve? That's okay, I won't put you on a spot. But Lisa read about it, right? Lisa read that beginning of an exchange between Jesus and a lawyer. Well, I'll be careful what I say here, since I know of at least three lawyers here in the congregation this morning. I won't reveal who they are. They may want to remain anonymous. In Luke 10:25-27, the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" He's just heard the greatest commandment from Jesus. Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, "Love God, love your neighbors with all your heart." Greatest commandment of all. Jesus begins then into the story of, in the account in Luke, he talks more about the Good Samaritan. And he talks about the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, earlier this year, Kathy and I and Kim made this trip. We were going from the Sea of Galilee up the first time, and then Kathy and I later went down. It's about 15 miles. And it's an ear-popping drop from nearly 3,000 feet down to a minus 800 feet in those 15 to 17 miles. It's not the steepest road in the world, but it's steep enough. Jericho is the lowest town on the face of the earth. A minus 800 feet. Well, thieves had robbed a man. They'd stripped him. They left him in the road to die. He was half dead at that point. And that area is truly badlands. It's nothing but sand and rock and a few pieces of green here and there. Right, Kim? She'll back me up on that. A badlands. But it was the trail that went from Galilee up to Jerusalem that most used. You could go through Samaria, But most Jews would not do that. Well, a priest came by, and he stepped to the other side. And you can just hear him saying, "Don't look, don't look, don't look," as he walked on by. And then a Levite came by, and he too walked on by. "Don't look, don't look. I didn't see anyone." And then a Samaritan, a good Samaritan, came by. A contradiction in terms to most Jews in those days. They thought very little of the Samaritans. They thought they were abysmal, low life. And as I mentioned, people wouldn't even go, even though it was closer, wouldn't even go through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem. They'd go around. They felt that badly about the Samaritans. Well, he stopped. He cared. He gave first aid. He took the man to an inn. Asked him to keep him there. And he gave him 2 denarii, about 2 days of pay for a laborer in those days. He said, "And I will come back and I will settle with you and pay whatever else is needed as you care for this man." But although this is a rural area, it certainly points to and speaks to many urban issues that we have in the world today. Racial and ethnic division. Crime. It's violent. Struggle of the small businessman to collect debts. And Jesus said finally to the attorney, "Who was the neighbor? Who was the neighbor?" The attorney says, "The one who showed mercy." That was the Samaritan, an ethnic minority, a despised one. And Jesus said to him and to us, "Go, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise." That's a challenge to us moderns, especially when we live in cities where we're surrounded with countless victims. Consider how to be the best neighbor. How is it we can go and do likewise in our community? Service takes many shapes. I have a friend, Crystal Wheeler. She's a young college student out in the Inland Empire, and she's become active over the last couple of years in the conference workings, if you will. And she has an interesting story that I won't tell at all today, but one facet. She was reading the Sunday paper one day, and there was an article about a person whose life was draining away because they needed a kidney. And for some reason, they were unable to find a donor. Crystal was moved to action. She was moved to service. She tracked down the person. All the testing was done, and she was compatible, and she gave a kidney. When asked, "Why did you do that?" she says, "I had two. That person needed one." Service takes many shapes, many visions. Jesus said, "Who was the neighbor?" The one who showed mercy. Go and do likewise. As we uphold our vows of service, we're able to shout to God's love and God's grace. The power of the Holy Spirit to help us in this effort. I'll be there in a minute. Well, you know you make me wanna keep my hips. All right. Shout, shout. God has promised the Holy Spirit will help us in this effort of shouting. Lisa again read in Acts 8, we find assurance and instruction. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. Well, Jerusalem was to the hometown crew. Judea was to the folks, the cousins down the road that looked like us, and we thought similar. Samaria, we already talked about Samaria, right? We're asked even to witness to the Samaritans, those we don't like, those we don't know, those we don't understand. We're to witness to them as well. And then finally, to the whole world, to all of God's creation. Yes, to our lovely blue planet, the blue marble, to everything that God has made that's been entrusted to us. Well, all too often, the words witness and evangelism frighten folks. We may think of witnessing as standing on a street corner and shouting out, repent. I worked in downtown LA for 30 plus years, and I think it was 6th and Broadway was the popular corner. And almost any time of day, you could go down there and there would be someone preaching, holding his Bible or his tract, whatever it might be. So we leave the work of witnessing sometimes to those that we have designated as evangelists. But our vows clearly state we are to faithfully participate in all of the ministries of the church by our witness. It's more than just inviting someone to come Sunday morning. Witness is the evidence of God's grace in our lives, love of our neighbor, how we treat others, the faithfulness of our service, our integrity in the workplace. Sharing the story of God's grace in our lives with others is one way to bear witness. April 5th, 1885. Now that's a long time away ago. Most of us here can't remember that date. Most of us. The Sierra Maru, a ship, dropped anchor in Chemulpo Harbor, Incheon, Korea. Aboard, there was a newly ordained pastor, Methodist Episcopal pastor, Reverend Henry Appenzeller, and his wife, Ella. Theirs is a fantastic story. I don't have time to tell it all today, so we'll just talk a little about it. In 2010, that was 2 years ago, and I remember it because I was there. This work was published. It's the papers and the sermons of Henry Gephardt Appenzeller, who was that young pastor on that ship with his wife, Ella, and his son, Henry David Appenzeller. Appenzellers were most instrumental in helping that country. Now, it's unfortunate Appenzeller died at 44 in a ship collision. So at the time he was 44, he had done great works for the country of Korea. John S. Hullier, Jr., his great-grandson, in the foreword writes, much is remembered in Korea about the work of Henry G. Appenzeller, his founding of the first school of Western learning in Korea, his building of the first Methodist church with oven-fired bricks, a process unknown at that time in Korea, his work as a Bible translator, and even perhaps his introduction of tennis to that country. He was so revered that he was presented with the President of Korea, Medal of Honor, for all that he had done for the economics, for the education, for that country in general. Now, we have a link to the Appenzellers. Ruth Glass, who was the former or the previous head of school for Wesley, was the brother of Jack Jr., Collier. So she was a great-granddaughter of Henry Appenzeller. Well, in January 17th, 1903, another date far, far away, SS Gaelic docked in Honolulu. On board were 100 Korean emigrants. They had come from Incheon on the ship, and they were coming as families, single men, married men who had left their families at home, but they had come to begin the immigration to work on the sugar plantations in Hawaii. When that ship left Incheon, of the 100 people, there were 50 of them who were Methodists. When that ship arrived in Honolulu, there were 100 Methodists. You see, they witnessed those 50. They witnessed to those other 50. Now, we don't have to go out and ride a steamship to witness. We can just walk outside and do that. As followers of the way, we're called to witness to Jesus Christ, his suffering, death, resurrection, just as these immigrants were called to do that in Hawaii. Fulfilling our vows to serve and witness need not be a burden or something to fear. It's a great privilege and a responsibility that we have as we claim our inheritance as followers of Christ. Work to bring about his kingdom. We are disciples to work to transform the world, to transform the world through service and witness. I'm convinced that we have the joy of young Paul, the heart of crystal. Now, I'm not advocating that you go out tomorrow and give up a kidney, but maybe there's something else you could do. The determination and dedication of the Appenzellers, the courage of the voyagers to Hawaii, the zeal of my son, grandson, Paul, as he said, "Oh, good. I love it, the church days." And then a line from Jake and Elwood Blues. We're on a mission to God. We're all on a mission to and for God.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out NoHoMethodistChurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.